This morning's public read comes from John chapter 1, so turn with me to John chapter 1. I'm going to read and make comment appropriately, and I'm going to be reading verses 15 to 28 here this morning. John chapter 1, picking up in verses 15 to 28. John bore witness of him, and the him is Christ, and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Now, verse 17 is not implying that under the old covenant, grace and truth were absent. That's not the point. What John is telling us here is that when Christ came, those attributes, grace and truth, came much more highlighted, much more emphasized because of the one who was bringing the grace and the truth. And the one who brought that was the Son of God himself. That's the point. No man had seen God at any time. That goes down to the present hour all the way back. The only begotten Son, that's Jesus, which is in the bosom of the Father, he, Jesus, hath declared him the Father. And this is where we get the concept of the mediatorship of Christ. When you read of God coming and condescending in the Old Testament and appearing to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, or coming to Noah, or coming to David, or coming to Solomon, that was God the Son. Because no man can see God the Father and talk about it another day. Notice in verse 18, no man had seen God at any time. And that's a reference to the Father. So the Father sends the Son, his beloved Son, his only beloved Son, to be his spokesman. Way back yonder in John 1:1, Jesus was called the Word, the Logos, the mind, the expression of God's mind in word. And so Jesus is that representative of the Godhead. He is the mediator. He declares the Father's words to us here on earth. And this is the record of John. So John is going to give a testimony. He's in a law of court. His hand is raised. He's taken the oath. And he's now sworn to tell the truth. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" John confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." So when John comes on the scene and he breaks that 400 years of silence between the ending of Malachi and the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, using that as kind of an illustration, that gap between the Old and the New Testament, it ran about 400 years, where God was totally silent, did not reveal himself to any individual person at all, but the Old Testament scriptures were complete and were made available only to one people in one nation. When John comes on the scene, he is automatically misunderstood to be the one to be the Messiah, and John has to correct that misinterpretation. And they asked him, "What then art thou? Who are you then? Art thou Elias or Elijah?" And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" Possibly referring to the one of Deuteronomy 18, which was speaking of Messiah. He answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? Well then tell us plainly, who are you? That we may give an answer to them which that sent us." So the ones to whom John is speaking probably was a emissary from the religious leaders back in Jerusalem. This entourage of representatives of the high priest and his cronies went to the Jordan to find out, who in the world are you? Are you the Messiah? Okay? Because we have to give an answer to the ones who sent us. "What sayest thou of thyself?" Now, if these people were really attuned to the Old Testament, they would have known what John was saying. He saith, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Elias," Isaiah, that's Isaiah 40 verse 3 that John was referring to. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. So there you go. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou, if thou be not that Christ or Isaiah, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. Now, the word with in the Greek can also be translated in, I-N. I baptize in water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchets I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. I'm going to check here. Verse 28. So there we go. So please be seated, and may God bless his word. So here we have this portion of St. John, the brother of our James, the one upon whom leaned upon the breast of Jesus, one of Jesus' inner three there, that circle, Peter, James, and John. John bears witness that he was one crying in the wilderness. That should automatically have taken these representatives of the entire religious establishment, and it should have went off in their minds like a light bulb, because they were so close to the Old Testament scriptures. Beloved, they had no excuse other than just simple prejudice or simple unbelief. John is telling them, John's giving them a flag. He's waving a flag telling them everything in the prophets is about to become a fulfillment. One is coming after me. I am come to prepare a people for him. Make ready a way for the Lord. Now, I kind of wonder when these folks did go back, okay, because if you look at verse 24, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were that right-wing party amongst the Sanhedrin. They would be your more conservative ones. They believed in life after death. They believed in the supernatural. They believed in miracles and in angels, while the Sadducees rejected everything because they were your first century Democrats. They were the far left, if you will. And then John tells them. Matter of fact, John quotes right out of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, in your English translation with the chapter and verse divisions. He quotes the book of Isaiah to them. And beloved, they were so blind, or in some respects, like many people today in the church, so prejudicial against the truth itself. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.